5:03, afternoon theatre.
An Ordinary Bloke by Bill Lyon, with Douglas Livingston, Nigel Hawthorne, Diana Bishop, and Philip Stone.
Well, I thought it was one that easy. Lucky I didn't have any money on it.
Jack?
I can't hear you. I've got selective deafness.
Jack, the kettle's boiling.
Just tune him up.
Well, calendar girls are good each way, better. Have you got my bourbon biscuits, Jack? The damn thing's choking.
Jack?
Just coming.
For a long time.
Was I?
Aging. I called several times.
Sorry.
What kept you?
I'll pour you tea.
You got my bourbon biscuit.
On the play.
So I sent the wrong paper again.
Huh?
I thought you were going to do something about it.
I did.
This one's no use. There's no news in it. Like a child's comic.
Racing's good.
I'm not interested in racing. I like to know what's going on in the world. I expect the newspaper to be informative.
Yeah?
There's nothing very informative about racing or photographs of cheap, vulgar little tarts.
It depends what you want to know, doesn't it?
Well, are you going to do something about it?
I've told you. I've already spoken to him. The paper boy's new. He's bound to make a few mistakes while he's settling in.
You don't know how to deal with tradespeople at all. If you tell them we're not paying until we get our proper order, they'll soon sort it out.
Maybe.
You've got to be firm with them. I'll leave it with you, then.
I can't do anything today.
Why not?
Up to Manchester after lunch. It's the 14th.
I suppose that means I'll have to speak to them.
I'll end it next week when I get back.
I'm not putting up with that rag till then.
Only a couple of days.
I'll get up and go down there myself.
You
lie? No, I don't like. I don't like this back keeping me in bed so much. I don't like you and Robert resenting every little thing you do for me, but I have to learn to live with it.
Dr. Morrison said it'd do you good to give it a bit more exercise anyway.
Dr. Morrison doesn't have to put up with the pain.
I'd best get off to work.
What about the breakfast thing?
Just sleep by the bed and Mrs. Moore will be in to clear up later.
I brought you some coffee up.
Do us a favour, Mum.
What?
Don't chink the cup so loud.
You look terrible.
Thanks. Feel a lot better for knowing that.
There's just a couple of little slits where your eyes used to be.
It's even worse on my side of them.
I don't suppose you want any breakfast.
No.
You ought to eat something. Might settle your stomach.
The only thing that settled my stomach is amputation.
It must have been a hell of a party.
Lads wanted to give me a good send-off.
If you go in looking like that this morning, they'll send out squad cars for the gang that mugs you. So how do you feel about starting your new career today?
Oh.
You've got about an hour to make yourself look all keen and bright-eyed. I don't reckon you'll make it.
Oh, sorry. I've worked with Fraser before. He knows what I can do.
But he won't be the only one there, will he? Oh, you can't let him down, Jimmy. Like you said, he must have fixed this transfer. He'll be expecting a lot from you.
You hear that coffee there?
That's better. Ava's run and I've laid out a clean shirt. And your suit?
I don't feel comfy in a suit. I can't work in one.
You need to make a good impression.
They wanted Jack, not a fashion model.
Look, just for today. Leave the egg stains and the fag ash till they've learned to love you like I do.
All right.
Mom, it's me, Robert.
Hello, dear.
Oh, didn't expect to find you down here.
No time to stay in bed, things to do.
You mustn't go overdoing it, you know.
They sent the wrong paper again. Your father's in Manchester.
Huh?
So I have sorted out.
Oh, you should have left it to me.
I have that Indian behind the counter. He never understands a word I say or pretends he doesn't. Don't suppose I did any good.
Well, I'll look in there lunchtime.
I don't want to be a trouble.
It's no trouble.
Perhaps you still think that, but Margaret resents any time you wait on me.
It's no trouble. Look, I've not got long, Mum. I'll be late for work. Is there anything I can do while I'm here?
She never visits. You always come on your own.
It's not true. She came last month.
And spent the whole afternoon looking at her watch. It was most embarrassing.
I see Dad finished the concrete.
It was well past nine before he was in.
Well, it's very professional.
He should have done it years ago.
Well, it means he's lost half his vegetable patch.
Well, it was dangerous.
What?
You know I'm not so steady on my feet these days. First sign of rain, that garden's a mud bath. Meant I was a prisoner in my own home half the winter. Wasn't fair.
Well, you'll miss it, though. I've got room to grow pretty much now.
He used to spend hours out there. I think he did it to keep away from me. Gets very lonely, stuck on your own indoors all the time. No one to talk to.
I visit every day.
That's only an hour at lunchtime.
Well, I come before work when I can.
The rest of the time hangs heavy.
It's the best I can do.
Oh, I realise you'd come more if Margaret had let you. I don't know what she's got against me. I've always gone out of my way to be nice to her.
Oh, for God's sake. Let's leave Margaret out of the conversation for once, shall we?
I suppose you feel you've got to take her side.
It's not a question of sides. I come here, me. Margaret, I come to do any little jobs that might need doing, and because you say you need the company. Is there anything you want from the shops?
Mrs. Morton will go to the supermarket for me. She's such a treasure. I don't know what I'd do without her.
How about your massage? Is the machine fixed?
Jack did it Tuesday, but he didn't bring it up. If you could fetch it out of his tool room for me and plug it in.
Bedroom?
Yes. I'll be ever so grateful.
Oh, sorry, I was looking for Sergeant Burridge.
That's me.
Jimmy Bogle.
Ah. Pleased to meet you, Jimmy.
That's your desk.
Ah. Yeah, well, just shove that lot in the bin. Look who sat there before you was a scruffy beggar.
What happened to him?
Tucked up, taking bribes.
Straight up.
He was. Got made up to DI, jammy devil. 3 years less service than me at all. I'm up again, but I've almost given up hope.
Story of my life.
Yeah. Reckon they'll all change now you're with the big boys.
Well, there's more chance of getting noticed.
Yeah, you can dream. I hear you worked with the big cheese before,
eh?
Fraser.
Oh, yeah. Found a body on the heath. Looked like suicide, turned out murder. Bit of a funny one.
Get a conviction?
No.
Ah, black mark against you, then.
Not my fault.
He likes success, does Fraser.
Yeah. I'm supposed to be seeing him at 11.
Well, don't fret about that. It's just his usual pep talk. You're part of the team here, Vogel, and we don't have any stars. Yeah, I often wonder what I'd done if I hadn't had a vacation. Pub would be nice. Suppose they'd only drink the profits.
Burridge.
Ah. Oh, yes, sir. I've got that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'll tell you. Yeah. Talk with the devil.
Fraser.
Yep. Give me surveillance Saturday night. Bang goes my match of the day.
Oh, luck.
Oh. And he's off to see the ACC later, so he wants you straight up there now.
On my way.
Ah, come on in, Jay. Yes, sit down. We'll keep you a minute.
Perhaps you'd like to open the window while you're waiting.
Oh,
Sorry, sir. Do you mind if I smoke?
Make yourself at home. See you again, Jimmy.
Thank you, sir.
I had hoped we'd have time for a long chat, but as Burridge probably told you, I've got to see the ACC, so I'll have to be brief. Good chap, Sergeant Burridge. I think you'll get on well.
Yes, sir. I wanted to thank you, sir.
What on earth for?
Getting me transferred.
Well, I didn't get you transferred, Sergeant. I was under the impression that you declined to join us.
Well, yeah, but I'd never have made it if you hadn't put in a word for me.
Look, Jimmy, I'm delighted to have you on my team, but there are a few things we ought to get straight first, which is partly what this talk is all about.
Yes, sir.
Now, we've worked together before, so I feel I know a bit about you. Yeah. Some aspects of your work are excellent. You're like a terrier when it comes to digging out information. You're keen, hard-working. There's more to it all than all that, isn't there?
Yes, sir.
Your selection board turned you down for inspector again recently. How many times does that make?
I've lost count, sir.
Well, I'm not surprised. What have they got against you, do you think? Oh, come on, Jimmy. You're normally bubbling over with ideas. I'm sure you've got a theory.
Face doesn't fit.
I'll bet you say a bit more than that in the canteen. All they want is yes, man. If you've got a posh accent, you're home and dried. They wouldn't know a villain if they fell over one in the dark. It never occurs to you that in any small way it might be your own fault? Hmm? You've got no idea how to handle people, Jimmy. Police or public. You say, I'm a rough diamond. They've got to take me as they find me. Well, they're going to find you a sergeant for the rest of your time. You don't buck your ideas up.
Yes, sir.
There's not going to be a cushy number here, Jimmy, or an easy passport to promotion. It'll be damned hard work. And what's more, it's got to be done my way. Now, maybe they could afford your antics at Holman Road, but it's different here. We're dealing with real crime, so we can't afford you playing Kojak and tackling the mafia single-handed. I need someone who'll slot into my team where he's told. And if that means a few weeks slogging on house to house, then hard luck. It's still got to be done. Understand?
Yes, sir.
Right up.
You're cozy, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Never die. Look, I don't mean to be hard on you, Jimmy. You're a good Jack, and we're lucky to have you. But you're still a small cog in a very big wheel. We all are. And the sooner you learn to accept that, the better it'll be for all of us.
Yes, sir. Is that all, sir?
For a moment, yes. Carry on.
Won't be long, Brian. Just got to tell Mum to sort everything out.
Okay, Bob.
Mum! Mum! It's me, Robert. I looked in at the news agents, so we're dead sorry about it, honest. I've got today's if you want to see it.
She must be upstairs.
Won't be a minute.
Okay, right.
What are they like?
Seemed okay at first, but
the
Sergeant Burridge. All smiles, handshakes. There's a nifty bit of footwork, and he's landed me with his surveillance for Saturday night.
But we're going out Saturday.
Not anymore. We wouldn't want him to miss match of the day.
Oh, that's the bloody limit.
Well, I couldn't say too much.
You wouldn't say anything, because you didn't want to come in the first place.
It won't stop you from going.
Oh.
You'll probably enjoy it more by yourself. You won't have to be embarrassed when I put my big policeman's boots in it.
Just once in a while, I'd like us to go out together.
You wouldn't come to the party.
You know what I mean. Not good enough, Jimmy. I am a person. I have rights. I eat, sleep, breathe, and think.
In fact,
I've been thinking quite a lot lately about my life. Do you know what it consists of?
Hey.
I'll tell you. Washing up, clearing up, and waiting here to make meals and black coffee on the odd occasions when you choose to turn up.
It's not that bad, surely.
Well, it never used to be. But lately...
What do you want me to do?
Nothing. I'll never change you. It's me. I've got to sort things out for myself. I want to get a job, Jimmy.
Hey.
I told you, I've been thinking a lot.
Look, Mo, we've talked about this before.
You can't say we couldn't use the money.
But there is Tina to think of.
Oh, she's at school all day.
Well, what sort of a job?
Anything. Just so my life doesn't have to revolve round you. And that's the crunch, isn't it? That's why you don't want me to. You turn up any old time that suits you, and I've got to be here waiting.
That's what a wife's for.
We've got the vote, Jimmy. Things are changing. And you'd best resign yourself to it. I've made up my mind. I've been a doormat long enough.
I don't know which aches more, my feet or my fingers. I've done nothing but tap the streets and type reports ever since I got here.
Lambrock, it all can get you down sometimes, I know.
So I've seen some point in it all, it'd be better. But I reckon Fraser's snouts have been on the mess.
Sir, morning. Feeling restless, Jimmy?
Typhus cramp, sir.
Well, you can stop that for the moment.
Coming on.
We're sending you back to Hotham Road.
What did I do wrong?
They've asked for our assistance, and you seem the obvious choice.
What is it? Traffic or a lost budgie?
Murder.
Oh.
Husband does wife, or that's how it looks.
Usual domestic blitz story.
That's that.
Carving knife, pillow, or black stocking?
Electric shock. There's a variation for you. The lady had a weak heart. Switch, flashbang, wallop, and the whole room goes up. Touch of arson thrown in.
Conveniently charring half the evidence, I suppose. How strong a bet is hubby?
Well, he's done a bunk, which, in the circumstances, looks a clincher. Well, I suppose you'd get far. A middle-aged, suburban, soft toy buyer for a local firm with a passion for weekend gardening. He's hardly Al Capone.
So what do they need us for?
Still, we've got to respond. Spirit of cooperation, show the flag and all that.
Jacko, you look disappointed. What's wrong? Having for the chief constable, were you?
Well, it is murder, Sarge.
Don't worry. We'll let slip the dogs and water if we have to. Sounding pretty open and shut, though. Bubby's odds on in a one-horse field.
He as good as admitted it in that phone call.
And now he's completely disappeared. Sounds like a cool customer.
Well, if he is, he's kept it well hidden all these years. Everyone seems agreed he's about the most ordinary bloke you can meet. Not clever, not stupid, just average.
How about the son?
Takes guts to go into a burning room.
Even if you are only bringing out a corpse.
He didn't know that.
So you liked him?
Yeah.
Sorry to intrude at a time like this, sir, but you'll understand that I have to ask you some questions.
Yeah, I suppose so.
It's very awkward for him having to take time off work, you know.
Yeah, well, it was awkward for his mum getting murdered and all, but it's done, so we have to sort it out.
We all know who's responsible. Shouldn't you be out and looking for him?
We are. He's proving quite elusive. Did you know he'd given up his job, sir?
No.
I see. Mind if I smoke, sir?
No.
Thanks.
about your dad leaving work? Are you sure he didn't mention it?
Well, I knew he was thinking about leaving, that's all.
Oh, yeah?
Well, we discussed it. I thought I dissuaded him.
It looks like you were wrong.
Yes.
Did he say why he wanted to leave?
This is very difficult for me, Sergeant. I mean, he's still my father. I don't want to say anything that might incriminate him.
Naturally. It's all bound to come out in the end, sir.
Oh, he's probably right, Robert. Best to get it over with.
If it's any help, sir, we've already been told that your mother wasn't an easy woman to get on with.
Well, that's an understatement. She was downright evil.
Margaret.
Oh, I know I shouldn't speak ill of the dead, and it's no justification for killing her, but we might as well be honest about it. I don't know how he stood her as long as he did.
But she was a sick woman, though. I'm sure it was partly her illness that made us so...
bloody-minded.
Yes, I think we get the picture.
You say he discussed leaving his job with you.
And leaving his wife. Oh, Robert tells me everything.
I see. Well, as I said, I thought I'd talked him out of it. It was the night before she died. Oh, she's asleep.
Good.
She took a couple of tablets earlier. I was hoping they'd do the trick. She had a bad night last night, then.
Yeah.
You look a bit worn out yourself. You should get an early night.
Maybe.
Oh, best thing. Oh, I'll be off now anyway.
Robert, stay a while longer.
Margaret will be worrying.
I want to talk to you.
Was it important?
I think so.
I really mustn't be too long.
I'm leaving. The house. The job. And best of all,
Is it meant to be a joke?
Hardly.
Oh, why?
After all these years, the more obvious question is, why not? I don't believe in an afterlife, so I'm not expecting my reward in heaven. What the hell have I put up with it all for?
Okay, she's difficult, but what would she do without you?
What would she do if I was run over by a bus?
She'd have to cope.
Oh, she can't cope, you know that.
True. But she'd be better good at finding someone else to cope for her. Some people have a knack for it. You're only worried that it might turn out to be you and Margaret.
That's not true.
We do a lot for her. Not like Alan. But it's different living with her. You can't have forgotten that.
Oh, look, you're just feeling tired. She had a bad night and it's got you down.
No, no. I've been thinking about it for a long time. I'm 48. I spent half my life carrying trays up and down stairs and slogging at a boring, mindless job that can be done by a well-trained monkey. There's got to be something better. And if I don't move soon, I'll be too old to recognize it when I see it.
Ah, I don't believe you.
I'm sorry, you're just not the type.
What do you mean?
Well, maybe you get bitter sometimes. Well, everyone does. You couldn't desert your wife.
You've got too much compassion.
Well, I'm too deep in my ruts. That's what you really think, isn't it?
Now, look. Suppose I really took you seriously for 1 minute.
Ah! Thanks.
Have you thought beyond the front door?
Oh, me? What on earth would you do?
Well, I don't know that. There you are, then. But that's half the joy of it. Finding out.
Now, I'm sorry, but you'd be back in a week at the outside. I think how much you'd hurt her in the process.
If life is bad now, imagine what it'd be like after that,
A silent, reproachful stare. Mother does so well.
Let me talk to Margaret and perhaps I can persuade her we should take Mum on a week's holiday. Give me a bit of a break, yeah?
And you left it like that?
Yes. He didn't argue, so I thought he'd seen sense.
No, I thought it was just an outburst.
He'd get over it.
But he never mentioned killing her.
Of course not. But I'd hardly have taken it so calmly if he had.
Tell me about the phone call, Mrs. Davis.
Oh, we've been over all this before.
And you'll have to go over it again. I expect my governor will want to hear it for himself, too. So you might as well get into practice.
Well, I can't remember it.
Just take it slow and try and get a picture of it in your mind.
Well, Robert telephoned me after he called the doctor and police. When I got there, the whole circus was underway.
Forensics and that.
I don't think you people realise how insensitive you can be. Robert had just found his mother dead, and then, on top of that, learned that his father was probably the murderer, and everyone was rushing round him and threw him like he didn't exist.
About the phone.
He was in a bad state. Not that anyone else noticed. When you'd all finished with the place, he was just issued with a list of orders about what he could or couldn't do with the body of his own mother.
Look, we get the message. We're clod hopping bobbies with big boots.
You said paint a picture. I got Robert to sit down quietly and started making tea. It's a habit I got from my mother. Always make tea in a crisis. The phone rang. At first I didn't answer it. I thought it would be more instructions from you lot, and I didn't feel up to it. Just rang and rang, till it was obvious that whoever it was wasn't going to stop until they got a reply, so I picked it up. It was Jack, Mr. Davis. I didn't recognise him at first. His voice sounded different.
How different?
Different.
Okay, what did he say?
He said, Margaret, I didn't think we would do another visit yet. He often used to say that to me. It was supposed to be a joke.
I see.
I told him Vi was dead. He said, I know, I saw her. Then I told him that the police seemed to think that it was murder, and he said something about it being a kindness, really. I can't remember exactly how he put it.
What did you take him to mean by it?
Well, at the time, I didn't understand at all. But since talking to Robert, I suppose he meant that she was better off dead than on her own.
Did he say anything else?
He wanted to know how Robert was taking it. I told him, then I asked when he was coming back. Never, he said. I remember that quite clearly. And then, Bob will manage. He's very capable in a crisis, something like that. Then he rang off.
Oh, I see. Well, thanks, Mrs. Davis. You've been most helpful. Don't need pathologist's report.
Yes, he doesn't tell us much we couldn't work out for ourselves. Do you want to sit in on the forensics?
Doesn't seem much point. We know how. We've got a pretty good idea who. What else do we need?
Do you know, I'm going to have to open up that narrow mind of yours, Jimmy. Sit down. Spooner's a top man. 5 years with the Home Office Central Research Establishment at Aldermaston. We're lucky to get him.
Yeah, well, you know my theory.
If you want to catch villains, you've got to have a nose for it. I'll drag you into the 20th century if it kills me.
Eyes down. Here comes Einstein.
Come in.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Mr. Spooner. I'm Superintendent Fraser. This is Sergeant Bogle.
Delighted to meet you.
Yeah, likewise. You got anything for us?
Blunt. The point. I like that. Let me be the same. What I have for you are facts. Hundreds of facts. Thousands, if you like. I can tell you that substance A, B, or C is or isn't present in this room or in the room of the murdered Mrs. Davis. And I think I can say, with all due modesty, that no one either in court or in this police station would doubt my qualifications for doing so.
Yeah.
Now, where we come into difficulty, Sergeant Bogle, is in the interpretation of those facts.
Exactly.
You'll forgive my lecture on the subject, but it's my belief that policemen don't appreciate the advances made in forensic science over the last decade, and it's part of my mission in life to put that right.
I see.
Let us examine, therefore, the case in hand.
In language we'll understand it. But...
Oh, yes, indeed. Now, is it murder, or arson, or both? Now, even our preliminary investigation revealed that tampering with the wiring was a crude but effective instrument of murder. But as a fire-raising exercise...
It seemed to have done a pretty good job from what I saw.
Oh, a lucky chance, or unlucky, depending from which side we view it. The probability of a fire resulting from the murderer's actions are, in my opinion, too slight for them to have been considered by him. I conclude, therefore, that murder was his only objective.
Still, I suppose the fire hasn't made the rest of your work any easier.
So, more time-consuming, yes, but not impossible, Superintendent. Fire does not destroy, as many an embezzler has found to his cost. If you burn incriminating documents, for instance, they don't disappear. Find me those particles, those ashes, and I can reconstruct the original page. Which puts me in mind of an experiment.
Fine, but we're not talking about documents, are we?
No. No, perhaps I have digressed a little. We examined the remains of the wiring by gas chromatography and discovered some facts which may be of interest to you gentlemen.
There?
Just trying to find the right report. Yes, yes, here we are. Now, firstly, and this is something I wouldn't have been able to tell you with the equipment we used 10 years ago, there are minute traces of engine oil. Mm-hmm. I believe these come from the gloves worn by the murderer. I've also reached the same conclusion about the pink fragments we uncovered.
And if we found these gloves, you could identify them?
Oh, I think so. They'll be red, industrial rubber, fairly common, I'm afraid. But I'll go a step further. If you provide me with engine oil from a suspect vehicle, I could tell you whether it fell within the range of vehicles from which the engine oil originated. Provided it hadn't done excessive mileage since. Of course.
Of course.
We made further examination by infrared spectrometry.
Eh?
Oh, this was for any organic substances that might be present. It might help the sergeant to understand. If I mentioned that the infrared absorption spectrum of any organic compound is so characteristic that it's sometimes referred to as the compound's fingerprint.
Well, I found all that fascinating.
It's all right for you. I never got more than 10% in chemistry at school.
Well, it's time you brushed up your education.
Where things are going, you'll soon need a BSc to pound the beat.
Yeah. You must admit, he's given us a bit more to go on.
The gloves could be a clincher.
Davis was a dedicated do-it-yourselfer, so he'd be quite in character.
Mind you, if we don't find him, none of it's any use.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and we won't do that with infrared thingamy-bobbery.
Nope, that's your old-fashioned foot slugger.
Aren't they all? Be a help if we knew where to look.
Yes, well, he could start at his firm, Goddard International. Concentrate on his secretary, Miss Parsons. They'd be together 15 years, so if anyone had an inkling of what he was up to, she could be the one.
Little romance?
Yeah. You've been reading too many cheap novels.
Not me, sir. Must be Mo getting through to me.
Well, see what you can get out of her.
What would he like to work for?
He was always very considerate. Sometimes other people would try and unload work onto me, you know, when they had a rush on. But Mr. Davis would always say, friend has got enough on her hands coping with me.
And had you?
Pardon?
Got your hands full with him?
No. I told you. He was a gentleman. Kind and considerate.
How about away from work?
How do you mean?
Was he different out of the office?
I wouldn't know.
You ought to know someone quite well after 15 years, surely.
I was just his secretary, that's all.
I wasn't implying anything different. But you must have talked sometimes.
Yes.
What about his wife? Would you have said he was fond of her?
I think that's a question you should ask him, not me.
I would if I could find him.
He never made any criticism of her to me.
That doesn't really answer my question.
I can't imagine him being anything but kind to another human being.
Nor is that.
She made his life hell, but he never complained. Is that what you want?
How do you know she did if he never complained?
She'd phone up sometimes. I'd hear her having a go at it.
I see. And how often did this happen?
Once, maybe twice a week.
What was she going on about?
Oh, everything and everything. Things he could get from the shops, things he hadn't done round the house. She'd shout down the phone, but he never lost his temper back.
You didn't like her, did you?
I never met her.
I think you knew Jack Davis was going to disappear.
What?
I think he confided in you.
No.
He was a thorough man, a tidy man. I could see that from his desk. Not the sort of leave loose ends. He left work a week before his final disappearance. He must have realised that Vi might have phoned up. And if you'd said that Mr. Davis doesn't work here anymore, you might have blown his cover. So he must have briefed you before he went. Look, this is a murder we're dealing with. If you mess me about, I can stick a charge on you quicker than you can say knife.
She didn't phone.
But if she had...
I was to say he was in with the managing director.
And where could you contact our Jack?
I couldn't.
You must have been able to. He'd want to know if she called so he could make an excuse for not calling her back.
He phoned me every evening to check.
I see. Where from?
I don't know.
You mean you agreed to all that deception without having to ask where he was going or why?
He's always been kind to me.
He must have given you some sort of explanation. I'm not going to warn you again.
He's miles away. You'll never find him.
Where?
He's gone to see his daughter in Australia.
He hasn't got a daughter.
Yes, he has. He told me things. He confided in me.
And you're going to tell me, aren't you? Look, when you said you'd help him, you didn't realise it was going to end in murder. But now...
He got this airmail letter from one of our buyers who'd gone out there. Mr. Davis had asked him to do some checking up.
Can you see, Mr. Davis? Would you like a biscuit with it?
No, thank you. Just shut the door a minute, will you? Thank you. We've worked together a long time. I wanted you to be the first to know. But I'll be leaving at the end of the month.
Oh, no! I am sorry to hear that.
I have this letter today.
Not bad news, I hope.
No, just the opposite. Look, I need your help, Brenda. This is a delicate matter, and I wouldn't like to think of it going beyond these four walls.
I hope you know you can trust me by now, Mr. Davis.
Yes, of course.
I'd always do anything I could to help you. You've been so kind to me, back when my mother was ill last year.
Yes, this is another family matter. I've got a daughter. You didn't know that, did you? It's a long story, but we lost touch. She went to Australia.
Is the letter from her?
No, it's from Mr. Palmer, who used to be in the mine office.
Oh, yes, he went out to Queensland.
He managed to trace her for me.
That's marvellous news.
It's even better. She's just had a baby.
Oh, that makes you a grandfather. Oh, you must be dying to see them both.
Yes, there's a problem, though.
Oh?
Mrs. Davis.
Surely she'll be just as pleased.
No. I can't even mention it in front of her. I've tried to talk it out several times, but it's no good.
I see.
I've got to make the choice, Brenda. Now, I've no right to involve you in all this, and if you feel I'm being unfair...
I've told you. I'll always do anything for you, Mr. Davis.
I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Well, don't go eating that now. I told you I started serving up.
Don't bother Fraser at all. He just says it's a lie. Ordinary people do tell lies. He's right. Not even very convincing lies sometimes.
Lay the table, will you?
But why build up such an elaborate story when it wasn't necessary? I mean, I know he wouldn't say he was going to murder the old bat, but he only needed to whisper he was thinking of leaving her, and Aunt Brenda would have packed his bags, booked his ticket and slopped a hopeful half-gallon of primitive behind her ear holes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
King never had a daughter.
Who's this?
Jack Davis. Not one we can trace anyway.
Oh. Is that important?
I don't know, yeah. Fraser doesn't think so.
And don't let it bother you. Besides, I thought all you had to do was find him and charge him.
Maybe.
Oh, I did ask you to lay the table.
What?
Don't bother. I'll do it.
Smells good.
Who's that?
That's foreign stuff, eh? Is it one of the tin sauces?
No, it bloody well isn't. Took me hours to make that. You better like it. Well, what do you think?
Different.
conversation in.
That's very nice, my honey. Look, I haven't even used ketchup.
Oh, I wanted to make something special as a celebration.
Oh, yeah?
Well, don't you want to know what I'm celebrating?
Hey?
Oh, forget it.
Sorry, I was miles away thinking about this Davis case. Hey, what were you saying?
I got a job. Supervisor of a playgroup. Well, there was an ad in the local paper. They wanted someone with teaching experience. I said they were lucky to get me. And I thought the money's not marvellous. That's not everything, is it? Going to long today. Some of the kids are looking sweet. I think I'll be able to get along with them. What do you reckon?
Hey?
Well, are you pleased or what?
Yeah. Yeah, it should be great. Hours not too long, I suppose?
No. I'll still be here to skivvy, if that's what you mean. Mind you, I can't guarantee you'll always get such exotic grub. There might be a few more tins being owned in this house.
Doesn't matter, I like tin stuff.
I don't know why I bother.
You see, there's got to be a key, a catalyst.
You what?
Okay, she was a cow and he hated her. But what made him suddenly move after all those years?
Maybe he got fed up with her never listening to a word he said. I could understand that.
Alan Davis is here, sir.
No?
The other son, the soldier.
Oh, I heard I got to show him
in. In here, Mr. Davis.
Oh. Now, Private Davis. It's very kind of you to come around so quickly. Just
Best to get it over with. I've got much time with the funeral and everything.
Mm. Northern Ireland. How long have you been over there?
Long enough.
What made you join up in the first place?
Well, I wanted to get out, see something of the world. Didn't seem another chance for me here. I'm not good with engines like Bob, and anyway, I couldn't see myself grafting for a mortgage. So I signed up for free. Did me basic, got a month in Germany, and then this lot.
Hard luck.
That's not cosy. Still, I reckon I'll make it nine.
Why not? You've always been something of a fighting man, from what I hear.
Private Davis has just lost his mother, Sergeant. I think we could do without the snide comments and circumstances.
Sorry, sir.
Give him his head. I can look after myself. I don't need her as an excuse. Say what you like. I've got nothing to hide.
You don't seem too bothered about her death.
Don't I?
Didn't you get on?
We got on all right, but she's gone now.
Yes?
Like two of the lads I went over with. Good mates, but now they're dead, so I don't think about them anymore. It's the best way when you're out there. Mother, lover, brother, it's no odds. It's your own skin that's important. Once you've learned that, you're in business.
About your father?
Yeah?
Would you have said he was capable of murder?
I said anyone was.
Well, it's not been my experience.
Well, in this training, we were told about a demo. One of our blokes got shot by a pregnant woman. Didn't suspect her, see? They told us that so we'd know if it's them or you, or even if it might be you, make sure you get in first.
Yes, but that's a wartime situation.
Yeah. They're ordinary lads, but they could all do it if they had to. Same as you could. So, that's suspect number one, is he?
We'd like to interview him.
You've got to catch him first.
Was he in the services?
Had to be an M-Day squire.
Yeah, call up.
Malaya. The plenty of a reel out there, too.
Still, it must have been 30-odd years back.
Some things you don't forget.
Yes, look, I'm sure this is all fascinating background, but what we're really interested in is where Davis is now. Have you got any ideas?
Afraid not.
If you wouldn't mind, sir, there's just one more bit of background I'd like to fit in.
Going on?
Did your father ever mention you having a sister?
Aye.
Emigrated to Australia?
I never had a sister. We did talk about Australia a bit when I said I wanted to travel.
Can you remember what he said?
He knew someone who went out there, wanted me to look her up.
Could that have been her?
I doubt it. I thought it must have been an old flame. He certainly didn't seem to want Mum to know about it.
I don't suppose you can remember her name.
No point. I never went.
Oh,
Good morning, gentlemen.
For once, I can promise you that this briefing really will be brief. You all know what needs to be done, and it's better of you to be out and doing it than listening to me. However, I do have a few observations to make. Considering the nature of this case, the newspapers, both local and national, have been extremely helpful in providing the sort of coverage we asked for. Naturally, we've had the usual sightings from Land's End to John O'Groats, but having discounted those which the local police haven't much confidence in, the hard evidence points to Jack Davis still being in the home counties, perhaps even within his own neighborhood. The chief evil, that's his hallmark. He's a methodical man, too. You could set your watch by him. A lot of people have said that. On the morning of the murder, he made his usual weekly visit to Sober's Dairy. The woman there runs a mail-order catalogue in her spare time. He paid off the last installment on some hedge trimmers he'd been buying. He also telephoned the landlord of the local pub and told him that he wouldn't be able to go with the darts team next week. Extraordinary calm for a man who knew his wife was lying dead. And we're sure that he did know, because he told his daughter-in-law as much. So, though the evidence against him might be partly circumstantial, his behavior could hardly be described as that of an innocent man. Let us assume, therefore, that he is our murderer. Not insane, legally or medically, but an intelligent man who planned and executed both the homicide and his subsequent escape, well aware of the consequences. He knew and knows the sort of investigation which would follow, yet seems to have been completely confident that he could outwit us. Now, I find that slightly irritating. Now, I'd like to believe that you're all good professional coppers, and as such should be more than a match for a middle-aged amateur with no criminal record or connections. I want every lead followed, and I want this man found before any Tom, Dick, or Harry who gets fed up with his wife thinks he can get away with it. Our crime figures are bad enough already. So get on with it.
Yes?
Got any sarnies?
Filled rolls.
They'll do.
Cheese and chutney, almond, pickle, egg and tomato.
Liver sausage.
I'll make you one up.
That's what I call service. Yeah, you've had a bit of excitement around here.
The murder, you mean?
That's it.
Well, they were in the shop, the police, asking questions.
Give you the third degree.
No, I run this catalogue. Good stuff. Mr. Davis came in about it on the day of the murder.
Oh, yeah? Know him well, did you?
I've worked here more than 50 years, and he's been a customer most of that time, since he was a kiddie.
50 years, eh? You don't look old enough.
I'll be 68 this December.
Never.
True as I stand here. I know more about this street and the people in it than anyone.
Hey, you can tell me something, then.
Yeah?
So when I read it in the papers, I got wondering, there was a Jack Davis in my regiment. You think it could have been the same bloke?
He did go in the army, I know, just after the war. Oh, there you are.
What's up? 47.
Yeah, about then.
Lost touch now. We were quite good mates.
Oh, yeah.
The bloke I'm thinking of used to go on about going to Australia. I reckon his girlfriend went out there.
Oh, yeah, that'll be Jack.
I thought it must be.
Bit of scandal there.
Tell me all.
They do say she had one in the oven.
Naughty old Jack, eh?
I reckon her parents were glad to get her out of the country. Mind you, they had a bit of trouble brewing anyway. They've done very well over there, though, also, I've heard. Got a big farm, thousands of sheep and that.
But poor old Jack was really cut up about it, wasn't he? He used to go on about it. Nancy, I think her name was.
No, Sarah. Sarah Clark.
Oh, yeah, Sarah.
Here. Are you sure you knew him?
Well, like I told you, sounds like the same bloke.
You're not a copper, are you?
Do I look like a copper?
Ah, Mr. Bogle.
I see you've decided to join us at last.
Yeah, I'm sorry, sir. I was just about to phone you, sir.
Yes, all right. Burris, the mountain has come to Mohammed. Okay, Jimmy, I presume you do have some explanation.
Yes, sir.
Then explain.
Well, sir, I found out that Jack Davis had been friendly with a girl, Sarah Clark.
And you think she's hiding him?
Not exactly, sir. This was all a while back.
How long?
30 years.
I see. But the memory lingers on, presumably.
Hear me out, sir. Her parents went to Australia in 1947 and she went with them. Now, although they haven't seen each other since...
You were supposed to be seeing the personnel manager at Goddard International this afternoon. Poor chap sat in his office waiting for you for half an hour.
I'm sorry, sir. I thought this was more important.
Well, I don't like to have to apologize for officers on my team, especially when I don't know where they are.
But she's the key to it all.
What?
I sussed it out. I knew that Australia story wasn't all phony.
What are you talking about, Jimmy?
That's what I've been doing all day, following it up. Sarah Clark got married soon after they arrived. Her first baby was premature, 7.5 months after they left Britain.
And you think it's Davis's child?
Yes. The Clarks were booked to go out there already, and I think young Sarah wanted to stay with Jack. She got herself pregnant to force their hand, but it didn't work. They took her anyway.
Sorry, Jim, but I still don't see where it gets us.
That baby is now grown up and back in this country. She's married to a surveyor in Kingston. Now do you see what I've been up to?
All right, Flash Gordon. I suppose you think I'm going to give you a medal for this.
I was right, sir.
That's not enough. I've still got to bawl you out. I'd be making a report on your conduct if Sergeant Burridge hadn't told me that you'd phoned him. Now, what's this Kingston address?
14 Marlborough Terrace, sir.
Then we'd best get over there, and if he's been and gone in the last few hours, it's down to you, Jimmy. Remember that.
Mrs. Sheila Stewart?
Yes?
We're police officers. Oh. I'm Superintendent Fraser. This is Sergeant Vogel.
Hello.
We'd like to speak to you for a minute.
What's happened?
It'd probably be easiest if we came in.
But nobody heard it there, my husband.
No, nothing like that, no.
In here, then.
Thank you. We're investigating the murder of Mrs. Violet Davis.
Oh, read about that.
Yeah, but you don't know the Davises.
No. Look, we've only been in the country 2 months. I hardly know my neighbours.
Yes. I thought your mother might have mentioned them to you.
Oh, no, never. Well, why should she have done?
But she knew Mr. Davis once.
It's been a long time ago. She hasn't been in England for 30 years.
Yes.
Look, what's all this about?
Well, it's rather a delicate matter, Mrs. Stewart. What I have to say may upset you. I'm sorry for that, particularly since it may all be unnecessary. But this is a murder investigation, so you'll appreciate that I have to ask questions about things that would otherwise be best forgotten.
You're not making yourself very clear, Superintendent.
You were born 7.5 months after your mother arrived in Australia. Now, there are two explanations for this. Either, as you've probably been told, that you were premature, or that your mother was pregnant when she left England. Whichever's the case, it seems likely that Jack Davis believes that he's your father.
I don't want to hear any more.
Yes, well, I'm afraid you have to.
Look, I know my father. He brought me up. Now, if what you're saying is true, they'd have told me.
They may well believe that they were telling the truth. The same as Jack believes that he knows the truth.
But what's the real truth?
Yeah, well, I'm afraid that's not my concern. I've got to find Jack Davis.
Has he contacted you?
What?
He mentioned something about his first grandchild to his secretary.
Oh, do you think I'd let a murderer near my baby?
You haven't seen him?
Well, of course I haven't seen him.
You implied that you'd not made many friends since you arrived here.
Right.
But amongst those you have made, would there be any men of about 50-ish, say?
No.
I just thought he might be waiting his time before he told you who he really was, gaining your confidence.
Look, I don't know anyone even vaguely like that.
You sure?
I'm quite sure. Except...
Yes?
We took on a sort of odd job gardener. Hughes, he calls himself.
Where is he?
He only comes 3 days a week. He's not due till tomorrow.
Gardening's his hobby. It fits.
He was walking the pram the other day. I thought how good he was with children.
Do you know where he is now?
Oh, yeah. Look, he's got a room with Mrs. Patterson. At number 37.
Number 37. Right.
Come on. Open the door.
What's up?
Jack Davis. We're police officers investigating the death of your wife. We'd like to ask you a few questions. I think it might be more convenient at our HQ. Would you mind accompanying us there?
How did you know where to find me?
Your daughter told us.
You mean you told her who I am? What the hell did you do that for?
I wouldn't exactly say she was pleased at the news.
Can I see her?
That's up to her. I got the impression if she never saw you again, it'd be too soon.
But she's still my daughter. If we talk things out, she might feel different.
She doesn't want to know, Sunshine.
You can hardly blame her in the circumstances. She's had 30 years of happy family life, and you're asking her to swap it all for a murderer as a father.
What have you been telling her about me?
We'll talk about it at HQ, eh? There's a lot we've got to discuss.
Look, I had my daughter taken away from me. I'm not going to let you do the same with my grandson. I've got to see her. Now she knows the truth. She's got to hear my side, then I'll go anywhere with you.
We've told you. She doesn't want to know.
Besides, you've got quite a few questions to answer before we finish with you.
Right, take a look around the room, Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
As you don't mind if we do, Mr. Davis, do you? Quite sure you've got nothing to hide.
I've got to see her now. I've got to. Grab him.
Get out of my way.
You're going to have a real shiner by the morning. What did it hit you with, a sledgehammer?
A stool. I didn't even dent it.
Well, it's lucky you're already so stupid. It could have caused brain damage.
Davis can't half shift for a bloke of his age.
Well, he probably doesn't pack away so much ale as you do.
Not lucky being late night shopping, that. I reckon Jackson would have caught him without that crowd.
Ifs and ands with pots and pans.
Truth is, we're back where we started.
Oh, not quite. You understand a bit more about the why and wherefores now?
Maybe. Best chance is if he tries to see his daughter again.
Oh, he won't do that. Well, not if he knows you're watching the place, surely.
I don't know. He's calling. But he's obsessed with her. Still don't know which way he'll jump.
Well, you can forget all about it for tonight. It's not often we get an evening together. Even if you have to be on the wounded list to do it.
Okay, no, I'm fine, honest.
Good. Well, you can listen to me for change.
Hey?
What was my first day today, remember? You haven't even asked how I got on.
Oh, yeah. Playgroup.
How'd you get on? Well, since you've asked so spontaneously, I think I'll enjoy it. Of course, it'll be a while before I get things like I want them, but there's nothing that can't be cured by a bit of hard graft.
Glad to hear it. You tell me all about it when I get back.
What do you mean when you get back?
Why should I look in this evening?
Oh, no, Jimmy.
Just to see how it's going.
Don't you ever know when to stop?
It's my baby, Mo. I've set it in motion. I want to be there at the crunch.
Jimmy. Right, mate.
Evening all. What's the matter with you, Jimmy? Can't you keep a wife?
I see how you were doing. Mind if I join you?
Yeah. Glad of the company.
Well, I suppose nothing's happened.
Not a sticky bird. Her husband's off on business and she's in on her own with the baby.
Have a fag. No thanks. Got me toffee. Regular show?
Not that he's got any sense.
Round the back, maybe?
No, way through.
So here we sit.
Like birds in the wilderness.
What do you reckon of camping?
The way I see it, we could do France, Spain, Portugal, proper tour, you know. Of course, their campsites are much better than ours. Got more idea of hygiene.
Yeah.
Why, it's dead against you, then.
Why?
Reckons it won't be a holiday for her if she has to keep cooking for a fortnight.
Good point, I suppose.
Hmm. Maybe. But is that a boner?
That's a sobering thought.
Hmm. An injustice. I spy, we might have lied, something beginning with S. Steering wheel.
No.
Stop light.
She wouldn't have gone.
She had to. They wouldn't go without her. And she knew they couldn't stay.
Oh, look, I don't understand.
Hang on. It was all going to blow up in your granddad's face. And even if he survived the investigation, all that middle-class respectability they built up wouldn't. I tried to raise the money to follow. Couldn't. Tried for an assistant passage. Got called up instead. By the time I was able to trace her, I discovered she was married. I was too late. They'd won. Don't you believe me?
Oh, I don't know. Don't see that it matters anymore. It's best forgotten.
It still matters to me. You're my daughter. Your son is my grandson.
Okay, well, what do you want of us?
I've got to get away now. I'd like to see you once before I go.
Well, the police are watching the house. You can't come here.
You could come to me. Find some excuse to satisfy him. You're a free agent.
Mrs. Walters, I'm Superintendent Fraser.
Oh, it's top brass now, is it?
Oh,
what was wrong with the lad that took my statement before?
Oh, nothing at all. He's a very able officer.
But when you heard Jack Davis was involved, you decided to follow it up instead of just going through the motions.
What?
Oh, this is the third time my shop's been broken into. You lot have never been asked so keen to catch him before.
I'm sure that's not true, Mrs. Walters.
No, well, it's 18 months since the last one. I've still heard nothing.
About tonight's effort.
Well, I've told the young copper exactly what happened.
You're sure it was Davis?
I've already said so.
And you'd say it again in court?
On a stack of Bible 6 feet high, if necessary.
Well, yes. Now, I realize you've made your statement, but for my benefit, could you go over it just once more?
I sleep above the shop. Well, to be honest, I've not been sleeping much at all lately. I had this kidney trouble last year, and I don't think I really got over it.
Oh.
I don't get off properly. It's not a deep sleep, you know. Mm. So the slightest noise makes me.
Oh, I see.
I heard glass breaking about 10:45. Yeah, it was a shop door, but I thought it was Yobbo's. They smashed a row of windows in Crawford Street last month.
Mm.
Found the police straight away. At the side of a panda car had put him off. Then I heard him moving around in the shop. I picked up the poker and I went downstairs.
Well, that was very brave of you.
The way this country's going, you've got to be prepared to defend what's yours. Nobody else will.
Yes, go on.
I turned the light on and there was Jack. I was too surprised to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
We stared at each other for a bit. Then he said he was sorry and ran out of the shop. I could hardly believe it. I've known him all his life.
Yes.
Oh, no, it doesn't seem as bad as murder to you. But there's a lot to say. She had it coming. But I never thought he'd sink to stealing from his own.
How much did he take?
£5.80. That was all there was in the till.
Hello. Thank you for coming.
Now, it was on the understanding that it would be the last time I have to see you. You said you were going away.
I have to. The police are bound to catch up with me soon. Where's the boy?
He's in the car. I didn't want to bring him out in the cold. We'll go to him in a minute.
You managed to get away from the police, all right?
I told them I was too nervous to stay in the house on my own. They booked me into a small hotel. The girl on the reception desk didn't even notice me going.
Uh-huh. Well done.
Well, they may well go back to check up later, so you'd better hurry up and say what you have to.
Well, that's not easy. It's hard to put into words. Hard to explain to you how much it means to me seeing my little girl. After all this time.
I'm not a little girl anymore. Now, yours or anybody else's.
But I feel like I've known you since you were. I've thought about you so much over the years.
Wasn't that rather pointless?
Yeah.
Well, you were so concerned about losing me and my mother that you married someone else. It was her you should have been concerned about. Her and your own children.
I was never unfair to Vi. She knew all about what had happened. Yes, to the kids. I think I've always been a good father to them. Just as if they were my own.
What?
They're adopted, both of them. But I couldn't have children, you see. I wanted kids, lots of them. So, adoption seemed to be the answer. It didn't work. Some people say they cement a marriage. Maybe they do. If there's something there to start with. Otherwise, they just widen the cracks.
I see.
I doubt it. We lied about them from the start. I wanted to bring them up to know that they were adopted. Tell them we'd chosen them, you know, but Vi wouldn't have it. She felt that that would be in some way a criticism of her for not being able to have kids. After all, I proved I could be a father. She never missed a chance of reminding me of that.
She must have been very unhappy.
Yeah. I realize that now. If I made a mistake by marrying her, she made a bigger one marrying me. You know, I often wonder what would have happened if she hadn't. I reckon we could still be quite good friends.
Yeah, instead of which you end up murdering her.
Nothing I've said has got through to you at all, has it?
It's too late. You should have known that.
Can I see my grandson before I go?
He's in the car.
Jack Davis, we'd like you to come down the station with us.
Thanks for your help, Mrs. Stewart.
Right, Mr. Davis. You've obviously never been in this situation before, so I want to explain your position and your rights to you. You've already been cautioned and charged with the break-in at the dairy. More serious charges are likely to follow. Now, there are some questions I'll ask you that, as a solicitor, I might advise you not to answer. So, in view of this, if you prefer to wait till he gets here, then that's the way we'll do it.
I'd rather get it over with, thanks.
Fine. Perhaps you'll start writing this down, Burris. Your wife was murdered on September the 3rd. And I'd like you to tell me all you can about that day and the events leading up to it.
I can remember all of it very clearly. It was something I've been thinking about for a long time, but like most of those things, it didn't work out like I expected.
Oh, you mean the fire?
Not exactly. When I first heard that Sheila was over here, I told Vi I wanted to see her. I thought after all these years she'd understand that I needed at least to see my first grandchild. I was wrong.
I don't wish to discuss it anymore.
That's ridiculous. You can't just push your head in the sand and pretend that it isn't there.
I think you've hurt me enough with this over the years. I want to be allowed to forget it ever happened.
Look, I've gone along with everything else, even though I don't agree with you. We brought up Bob and Alan the way you said, knowing that they might find out the truth any time.
Which is what you want.
What?
Once they get this little tidbit from the past, how long will it be before they ask questions about everything else?
All right. I won't tell them. What's one more lie when we've been living so many? As long as I can see her.
Go ahead. But if you do, don't bother to come back.
Is that an ultimatum?
If you like.
So, I've got to make a choice.
The truth is there is no choice for you. Never has been. I was always second best, and I've always known it.
That's not true.
Go. Go to her. If you think it'll make you happy, but don't expect me to welcome you back with open arms.
Don't be ridiculous. How could you manage on your own?
That's my lookout.
You know I couldn't leave you like that.
Why should you worry? You've never given a damn before.
I've looked after you ever since you've been ill, day in, day out.
And you've begrudged every second of it.
You don't give an inch, do you?
I hate being resented. I've told you you're free to do whatever you choose. Just don't come back afterwards.
All right. I won't see you.
It's your decision.
If that's the way it has to be.
Good. Don't we both discuss it again?
Naturally. Shall I make you a milk drink?
No, thank you. I feel too agitated now. All these arguments upset me.
Yes. Well, I'll leave you to get some sleep then.
Thank you. One last thing.
Yeah?
About the garden.
What about it?
It's extremely treacherous out there.
Huh?
Muddy.
Oh. We've had a lot of rain lately.
There's often a lot of rain in England, I believe.
True.
I just wondered whether it was your intention to make me a prisoner in my own home. A sort of punishment, perhaps.
Huh?
I haven't gone down the garden for fear of slipping, and Dr. Morrison says I should take the air at least once a day.
I'll build a path. Won't be such a difficult job.
Do you really need so much garden? Oh, I know it's a good excuse for being out of the house and away from me, but a patio would be so nice. Somewhere where I could sit and take the sun. That's not too much to ask, surely.
That was what finally convinced me. I'd given in. She'd won. Same as always. But that wasn't enough for her. She had to punish me for even mentioning it. I decided to leave her. And this time, I wasn't going to make the mistake of telling her about it. That was why it took me a week. Each day I packed as much as I could into my briefcase and
never even knew.
Yes, sir. Do take your time.
Have a sip of water if it helps.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. I concreted over most of the garden. It's funny. Even after all the work I'd put in there, it hardly hurt me at all. It was like sealing off the past. I knew it was all going to be left behind. September the 3rd was the day I'd chosen for the final break. I told Vi I was going up to Manchester as usual. Packed the last few things into me overnight bag and took them round to Marbury Terrace. I felt 20 years younger. I was due at Sheila's at 10, and I turned up with me gardening tools, ready for work. It was a lovely day, perfect for being in the garden. Her husband was home. They brought the baby out there, gurgling away in the sun he was. They look what they are, a happy family. I decided to go home. I realized Robert was right. They didn't want me, or need me. She was better off, not knowing anything about me.
You said Robert was right, so you told him what you planned.
I didn't mean to. I tried to palm him off with a story of male menopause, you know, fed up with me rot.
Yes, that's roughly what he told us.
He wouldn't buy it, though, so I had to tell him the truth.
Well, that's certainly not his version, but carry on.
Like I said, I decided to go home. There was a hell of a commotion in the street when I got there. Bob was the big hero. They brought Vi out and dropped a blanket over her. She was dead. It was all over. I'd thought about her dying, of course. You do when you're nursing a sick person. But when I knew it was for real, it was different. I saw things clearly for the first time. I looked back and I saw that I'd made a mess of my life from the age of 18. I'd had an unspectacular career. Brought up two kids with a lifetime of lies and lost a third who was better off not knowing I existed. And Vi. Poor old Vi. Who was better off dead. And I realized that I got the chance to try again. Have a fresh start. But even that's turned sour now.
Well, thank you, Mr. Davis. A useful background. Now, I'd like to deal with the murder.
I don't know anything about the murder. I didn't do it.
What?
I didn't kill her.
Well, then, why did you run away?
I told you, for a fresh start. Then when you talked to Sheila, I had to get to her to put the record straight.
But what about the Mr. Hughes bit? Why did you need a false name if you weren't planning anything dishonest?
I didn't know if Sarah had told her about me. If she had, it might have ruined my chances. So I thought I'd get her confidence first.
You murdered your wife.
I think maybe I will wait for that solicitor now. If you don't mind.
Look after him, Barrett. We'll be back.
Yes, sir.
message for you. Wife called earlier, asked if you bring her back.
Yeah, once I get this lot sorted out in my mind.
Yes, I thought you'd been pretty quiet. What's bothering you? Sit down. It's your iceberg case. What's on top's obvious. It depends whether we've uncovered all that's in under.
And if it's relevant.
It's always relevant. I thought it'd be all wrapped up by now. I wasn't expecting this. Just it's a bare cock-up and big saving of taxpayers' money.
You should be so lucky.
Could be holding on for a spot of plea bargaining later.
He hadn't even seen his solicitor.
I doubt Jack's up for the legal dodges.
Anyway, he'd be unlucky. We've got enough. Unless it's a funny jury.
Forensics drew a blank?
So, the oil wasn't from his car. He's a handyman, always tinkering around with someone's engine. He helped a neighbour out.
Maybe.
What about the gloves? They wear out, even industrial rubber. Or we chucked them out after the murder.
It's possible.
Look at what we've got. He planned to disappear on the day she was killed. He discussed leaving her with his son.
He says he discussed a bit more than that.
He knew she was dead when he phoned the house. He admits to tinkering with the machine.
To mending. And the belt, not the wiring.
But would you let your daughter marry him? Doesn't look sunny for him, does it?
Okay, on balance, 12 good citizens would stick him away for life. But did he do it?
You've really got doubts.
I don't know.
Come on, spit it out.
Well, to start with, in spite of the black eye and everything else, I like him.
Oh, for God's sake.
He did that, dearie, because we got him cornered. Otherwise, everything could fit an honest bloke who'd made a mess of things.
Oh, you've got to be joking.
No, he was on a plate, wasn't he? Husband does wife. Time after time, that's the sort of murder we get. They fight for years, then suddenly something snaps.
So it's a normal pattern. What's wrong with that?
If things had gone like he planned, there'd have been a tearful reunion with his daughter, and he'd have been big granddaddy with baby on his knee. Why kill Vi?
Simple. He couldn't risk her lousing it up for him again. One to me.
Okay. Then why didn't he murder her, then clear the district? After all, he waited 30 years to see his daughter, another few months. He'd have all died down and he'd have been laughing.
Even simpler. He was hoping to be put down as accidental death. He didn't expect to be on the run at all.
Anything else?
Yeah.
I want to put up another runner.
Like who?
What about Bobby the hero?
I need convincing.
He did lie to us.
Oh, come on. Jimmy, you can do better than that. He and his wife are the sort who want to keep any scandal well hidden. He lied to prop up their image.
They'd also be the first place Vi'd go if she was on her own again. But not if Margaret could help it.
Maybe.
And Bobby handled that machine after Jack. He took it up to the bedroom. Plus, he's got his hands in engines all day. It's his job.
Yeah.
Then suddenly, he finds out that the cow that's been giving him hell all these years isn't even his real mother.
I still say it's down to Dad, but gee, all right, we've been careless.
Should I try, or you?
Double act, I think. Want to phone Mo first?
No, strike while the iron's hot. Just got a couple of things I need to set up for Master Robert.
Right, Mr. Davis, I hope we won't have to keep you too long. Just a couple of points we need to go over again.
Has my father been charged?
Yes, he's talking to your solicitor now.
You haven't been telling us the truth, have you, Mr. Davis?
I beg your pardon?
What's the discussion you had with your father on the night before the murder, the first time you learnt that you were adopted?
I don't see what that's got to do with it. Well, it helps us to establish the sort of frame of mind he was in. Obviously, it'd be something of a shock if you'd never heard it before.
You hated his guts for it.
Oh.
And her. You're not going to tell us you didn't resent them making a fool of you all these years.
I thought it had been unnecessary, yes.
Which is understandable in the circumstances. You were angry about what they'd done. Him and your mother.
Yes.
So you had a row.
A disagreement.
Why didn't you tell us about it before? What have you got to hide?
I didn't think it was important.
No, quite.
But you can tell us now.
Well, look, he had this crazy scheme in his head. He seemed to imagine that after all these years, she'd welcome him with open arms.
No, but you didn't think so.
Why should she? He'd never done anything for her. He was a stranger to her. He was wrecking our family for nothing.
Seems to me there wasn't much to wreck.
What do you mean?
You were always at each other's throats. You hated each other.
It wasn't like that. Not all the time.
I see. So you were angry with him because you didn't want to know the truth. You'd rather have kept up the pretense, the lies.
I don't know what I wanted to. I just felt cheated.
And angry.
Yes.
Wasn't fair, was it? It was his fault. Yet you were the one who'd be lumbered with finding her home for your mother, even though she wasn't really your mother at all.
Because you were in a very difficult situation.
You didn't want her with you. You hated her all your life, and then when you knew she didn't have any real claim
on
you...
It wasn't like that. We just didn't have the room.
Between her and Margaret, they'd have made your life hell.
I don't see why we've got to go over all this now.
We've talked about background.
Like this forensic report helps us build up a picture of the case. Very interesting reading it makes. Oh, yeah. You know what gas chromatography is, do you? It's a way of examining particles, traces. Each one as individual as a fingerprint. Then you match them up with the other particles and bingo, the answer's 11.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, putting it in non-technical terms, it tells us that two people handled that machine, your father and you.
Well, yeah, you know I did. I carried it upstairs for her.
That didn't explain the traces on the inside. You'd need to take the panel off for that.
Well, Mr. Davis?
Well, now I remember that the panel wasn't screwed on properly, so, well, I thought it would be safest to fix it.
Well, it wasn't very safe, was it? It killed her.
All I did was fix it back.
You murdered her.
No.
It was perfect for you with him going off like that. The original Fall Guy killed two birds with one stone.
You can't believe that, otherwise you'd never have charged him.
We charged him with the break-in of the dairy.
The murder's down to you.
Oh, God. And you were ready to let him take the rap.
Right. We'll take your statement now, Mr. Davis.
Thanks for giving me a lift, sir.
Well, that's okay, Jimmy. Least I could do.
You did a good job.
Thank you, sir. You'll have a drink, won't you, sir?
It's a bit late, isn't it? I expect your wife won't be too pleased.
Ah, my wife won't mind. She's used to it by now.
Well, say no to a quick one.
Right, then. Here we are.
By the way, Jimmy, I was meaning to ask you before. How did you get Spooner to do that new forensic report tonight? He's a strict 9-to-5 man. I thought we'd have to wait till tomorrow afternoon at the earliest.
I didn't have the report.
But you put the fear of God in the young Robert with it.
That was the duty roster for next weekend.
Doc.
One piece of typewritten paper looks very much like another scotch.
Yes, and soda, if you got it. That was most unethical.
Yeah, lucky solicitor wasn't with us. Looks like Mo's gone to bed.
Yeah, oh, I think she's left a note for you.
Your meal's in the oven, I expect. I've had plenty of those in my time. So when?
When? Thanks.
Dear Jimmy, I've left you this note because otherwise you might not even notice I've gone. I don't blame you, really. I know it's just the way you are and you can't change that. Tina and I are going away for a few days, or maybe years. We don't know till we've tried. We'll miss you. But then we've been missing you for a long time. No.
Splendid. Just what I needed.
You've got a feeling for people, Jimmy. That's what solved this case.
You know, I know I was hard on you when you first joined us, but that's because you need some rough edges taken off. You'll make a good inspector one day. And it needn't take too long if you'll take a few tips.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
In An Ordinary Bloke by Bill Lyons, part of Vogel was played by Douglas Livingston, Mo by Diana Bishop, and Superintendent Fraser by Nigel Hawthorne. Jack Davis was played by Philip Stone, Vi, Joan Matheson, Robert, Gavin Campbell,
Margaret, Frances Jeter. Sheila Stewart, Nicolette McKenzie. Mrs. Walters, Margot Boyd. Brenda Parsons, Sheila Reed. And Detective Sergeant Burridge, Michael Goldie. With Brian Hewlett, Christopher Saul, Kenneth Shanley, and Walter Hall. The play was directed by Jane Morgan.